I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Lore boys here. We're back at it again with more intrepid space explorers from Earth. I didn't mean to do this twice in a row, but it's going to be more space, more people. So this week, we're going to be hitting up Halo lore. And who has joined me for my quest to the stars, gentlemen?
Is it me? Ethan Palmer!
It would be me, Ethan Palmer.
I'm Ethan Dick Ring Halo Palmer over here.
Cock ring, yeah. Do you remember that put a toonie in and get a dick ring out things that are in, like, bathrooms?
No?
All right, well, never mind.
Do not know what you're talking about. I know condoms and, like, mints.
It's like the same machine. It was condoms,
there was dick
mints,
rings in
and
there?
Cock rings, yeah.
James Miller is my name.
Do you not have to get a cock ring custom fitted?
What?
I have, like, a very girthy hog.
Well, we've talked about this before. It's like a fist. Yeah. It's like a fist on a very short arm.
Yeah, it's like a horse's fist.
I think it's kind of it's like a hair elastic, though. It's like you don't have to check how much hair you have before putting a hair elastic on.
I would burst a hair elastic.
The whole point is to keep it tight so the blood just stays in, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Just like your hair.
It's a horse's fist, not a pony's tail. You know
ooh,
I mean.
Okay. That's a good hair joke.
Horses.
So before we get into the episode, I figured we'd front load this one because we have fan mail, which has questions,
cool.
not just a request.
Neat,
so,
nice. Hi.
Let's get into this right now, and then if anybody else wants to have their questions answered at the top of the show,
fan mail.
loreboyspodcast@gmail.com. We'll get an actual horn at some point, so we don't need Ethan to.
No, I think it's good.
All right, never mind then. Yeah. Saves us some fucking Patreon money.
Yeah.
loreboyspodcast@gmail.com. Send in your questions, and we will give you answers. I can't guarantee they're going to make any sense or if you will be satisfied with them, but that is for a following email. What do you... Hell yeah, there we go,
Jamie's
man.
Got hook up,
Jamie,
yeah.
Pull up the clip.
Yeah.
And then the podcast ends. So, we have another one from Steven, who signs off all of his emails as Superman's dumb friend, because we made that one joke about Superman's dumb friend in New Jersey. And we know an actual person now in real New Jersey.
Not DC Comics, New Jersey.
Not DC Comics version of New Jersey, exactly. So he says, hey guys, it's Steven from Jersey again. I have a few questions for you guys. There's too many guys in one sentence. If I'm going to, like...
If we're going to be real critical here.
If we're gonna get
your questions on the show, so Peter can pick it
apart. This is a guy who likes to write in, and every time he writes in, apologizes. Let's not criticize his emails.
So,
here.
I mean, obviously, Steven, this is for you. I responded to your email when you sent it to us and saved it for the show. Never apologize for sending us long emails.
We love
them. It is
them.
Quite literally our favorite thing to get emails from people. So,
yeah,
feel free, longer, shorter, whatever, but never feel bad. Anyway, yeah, so that's the first one here. It says, like, he has some questions for us. First, did James ever pay you the $200 because he said he was on the Manchun Wars podcast and wasn't?
So he did pay me, not in $200, but in favors,
there
if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He's still cleaning my rug, if you know what I mean.
It is currently...
I have a very messy apartment that's full of dust, and he is beating that rug.
Yeah. And the real answer is that I'm in crippling debt. Yeah.
So this one here is kind of like a broader question, but it feels more directed at me just because I've vocalized my opinion.
Sure, because
this.
You're a narcissist. We get it. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. This one is to all three of us, but I think it's actually just to me.
Yeah. So. Second, like, how do you feel about Peter being so fucking buff and handsome?
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about
you know
that?
What? You know what, Steve? Great question. It is extremely distracting.
No, his actual second question is, second, what are some of the reasons you don't like Fallout 4 a lot? I mean, I like it because there isn't a level cap, and I can be a fucking fucking all caps God of Death, but I do like Fallout 3 better than 4.
I've always liked Fallout 4 way more than the other two.
Why
guys.
Don't you like Fallout 4, Jamie?
I like that.
Why would you say so?
I like it, and I've told the story, and Ethan was there when I bought it. I bought a TV and a PlayStation 4 on the same day, mm-hmm. and Fallout 4 was the first game that I went from playing on a crappy laptop to high-definition TV.
Ooh. Yeah. My problem with it is mostly, like, I don't know what it was about it, but the writing and the dialogue just didn't get me like the other Fallout games did.
Yeah.
And, like, Outer Worlds did, you know, which is basically, like, just Fallout, not Fallout brand Fallout.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just, like, a fun RPG shooter. And it's, like, the stories just weren't engaging in Fallout 4. I was, like, I met all the factions, and I was, like, cool, I don't care about any of these. And then I stopped playing.
Yeah. Right.
So my reasons for not liking it that much is one, lack of skills and build diversity, because there is no reason to play it again, because you will always fall into the exact same place.
Uh-huh.
And I like having a voiced protagonist, which some people think is not as good, because I know in Outer Worlds you can have 30 dialogue options because no one is saying them.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with the 4. Despite the fact it was yes, yes, but rude, no, and sarcastic.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
The options were shitty. My problem was, and this is not my own idea, this is something that was vocalized by some YouTuber that I saw. The character you play acts like they've played a Fallout game before, because they've been frozen for 220 years, comes out, does a favor for the first person they meet, and is paid in bottle caps, and doesn't ask a single question. Right? And it's just like, the entire setup, like, I do like some of the factions. I like the Brotherhood going back to being, like, the techno-fascists, and I like the Institute a lot because of the twists along the story.
Sure.
I don't like the fact that your character has played Fallout and is just, like, in a Fallout game, and it's just weird.
I don't know. I don't know how much more invested I would have been if it'd been like, oh, they took the time to explain to the player character how bottle caps are the new currency.
Well, I don't like, but like, why play a character, like, why play a man out of time if that's not going to be part of the story? Like, you like, why the fuck have I been frozen for 200 years if...
So they had time to kidnap Babby.
Well, that's the problem, yeah. Right? Yeah, so for me, it's mainly the writing and the lack of character builds, so that's kind of my reason. I don't think it's bad, but I just, like, can't play it again.
I think, easily the least gamer on the podcast here.
Yeah.
Like, video game mechanics get me much less than a story would, so I think that's why, Fallout 4, I'm sure I would have a lot of fun playing as the God of Death and just going, like, full GTA, you know, but I'm just not willing to put in the time to get there, because the story isn't, like, I'm not invested enough in it.
Yeah, and I'm very much, like, a mechanics guy, and then, But, I mean, there's obviously nothing wrong with liking it. Like, I put 160 hours into it, and I don't regret it, but I just can't do it again.
Yeah, we make a lot of fun here, but we're just assholes.
I played through it twice, and I had a ton of fun both times.
Yeah, well, so that's it. That's why I didn't think that was a broad question. And his final one is, lastly, did you guys hear they're making a Mass Effect 5? I would rather they just remaster the trilogy for PS4, because I fucking love the trilogy. Again, like last time, sorry for the long email. I just had those questions on my mind and was really interested in what you guys thought. Keep up the funny, amazing podcast.
Thanks, Steven.
Thank you, Steven.
Thank you very much, Steven.
Haven't heard they're making a Mass Effect 5. I'm excited for it. I think the low bar that Andromeda set, like, I don't think that they could go lower.
Nope.
I say that fully ready to put my foot in my mouth. Just, like, fully ready to just bend completely in half and eat, swallow both of my feet. But I think they'll do a better job than they did with Andromeda. I would actually be super interested to see if they did it in the world of Andromeda. I know nothing. Like, your email, Stephen, was the first I've heard about it, and I have not done any background research on this.
Yeah. Jamie?
I've never played any of the Mass Effects, so I hope you guys get the game you're looking forward to.
Yeah. You just want a remaster, really.
I'm not invested, but it sounds cool.
I had heard that there was a Mass Effect project rumored in the works. I didn't know it was Mass Effect 5, is all I can say. I did play the 10-hour demo for Andromeda on Origin, and it's bad. Although a friend of mine brought up an interesting argument where it's just like, what if they just didn't call it Mass Effect? Because, like, a mediocre space RPG that doesn't have, like, a legacy dragging it down, it's not really that bad. But it's, like, much worse than the rest of them.
That's my problem. So I haven't played Andromeda, but I watched our friend and friend of the show, Ryan Williams, play it on Twitch for a while.
What's his Twitch? Embo?
Embo, we're going to mess up the number.
23 or something?
No, 90-something. I want to say 93. Is he 2 years younger than us, maybe?
Yeah, he'd be a year or two younger than me.
So 92 or 93, yeah. But he was playing it on Twitch a while back, and I was watching him, and it's... Like the combat looks like better than the Mass Effect games, which is like kind of like a natural progression for a video game. Like,
yeah,
the mechanics get better. The whole thing was like anytime, and like even a lot of the other NPCs were like fine, but it was anytime the main character got involved in any way, it was like, I wish they would take this person off the screen.
Or, yeah,
like, exactly. I hate seeing this person. Like, they're terrible to look at. The voice acting is terrible, and the dialogue is like really weird and stilted at times.
Yeah,
and just like, so much of the story feels like shoehorned in really weird ways. Where I think it was a development thing where they were just making a lot of changes on the back end during development, and they never got the time together because, you know, like these big game corporations love to put out a game on time and, you know, hit their
quality.
Like,
be damned.
They spend a lot of money on marketing, to be fair, and like they want that marketing to pay off, which is like fine. But that's what you get for it is Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's it.
So that marks the end of our listener email.
Yeah. I was wondering why your phone was unlocked and you were staring at it. So back to Halo then.
Yeah.
The series is coming to PC.
Back to Halo or just to Halo?
Just to Halo then, yeah. The series is coming to PC technically for the second time because Halo 1 and Halo 2 are both already on PC.
I didn't know Halo 2.
Halo 2 was a launch title for Windows Vista, if you could fucking believe it.
Was it really?
Oh, yeah. Boy, howdy. Wouldn't...
I can't believe people were dual-wielding SMGs on high-rise on Windows Vista.
I mean, like 5, maybe 6 of them were. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Halo 3 didn't come to PC, so it's not like they were just like, yeah, we're confident in the PC audience of Halo.
So Halo, it was the demo version that was released on PC. Halo came to PC before it came to Xbox.
No, Halo Combat Evolved, Halo 1, is on PC.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I played it on an integrated graphics card in like 2002, where my graphics card was so bad there was no color, okay, so I could not tell the elites apart, and that got me killed so many times.
So...
It was black and white.
Yeah. So Combat Evolved apparently was on Windows, but I know the Halo demo was originally on Windows too. Like it was available on, yeah, Windows before it was available on Xbox.
And Chief had like a Microsoft Sam voice.
I played it probably 8 years after the release, like after Halo 3 had been out, you know what I mean? And it was amazing to play because the servers were still running. There was absolutely no moderation and there was nothing but flying warthogs and like it was just,
oh, it was mod chaos.
It wasn't mods, it was just hackers, but it was just like so broken in so many ways and it was so beautiful. And they had there was a flamethrower warthog, which was something,
yes,
that was originally,
yeah,
demoed in Halo, yeah, but didn't launch on the original Xbox Halo.
I broke our CRTV playing Halo 2, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because we were in my room and
trying to kiss Master Chief. I get it.
My parents were away. My parents were away. And then me and my friend Pat were sitting on the bottom bunk, and Anthony and his new girlfriend were on the top bunk. They were fooling around, and I was trying to beat Pat.
And you were
Pat.
Fooling around.
Yeah, I was trying to beat Pat, so I was like kind of yanking in his controller, yanking in my controller kind of thing. And the TV just came out of the stand and bonk, like right on the glass, and it never turned
CRT on. TV fucking episodes
in a row. Yeah, yeah.
Gex and Halo.
Yeah, it didn't work.
So we've all played Halo, right?
Yeah, one, two, and three.
Have you 1, 2, and 3? Mm-hmm. What about you, Jambo?
Yeah, 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3. Mm-hmm. I've also played Reach.
I've played Reach. I never beat it.
Oh, okay.
I played a lot of multiplayer on Reach.
Yeah.
Because it was...
Yeah.
It's good. It's coming... So, the PC release for the uninformed and might want to get it on a PC is going in chronological order. So, yeah, the first Halo game to come to PC, technically yesterday, if you're listening to this on launch, is Halo Reach.
Yep. Okay.
December 3rd, I believe, is how they pronounce the month.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's about it. There's also, like, an... unnecessary amount of very large novels about the Halo universe.
Yeah,
there is
like thankfully how we get what's going to be probably 3 or 4 episodes out of this. So hope you're primed and aren't hungry for more BattleTech, because that's what I'm doing for the next until 2020 is more and more Halo. Anyway, so humanity's space government is known as the UNSC, or United Nations Space Command.
Okay.
And it has its roots back in actual Earth's past. The past of our history. So this is not actually a real... This is going to be a real historical podcast for a minute here.
Okay.
The UNSC started back in 1920, and at that time was known as the League of Nations, because in 1920 they had not discovered space.
No, nobody knew it was up there.
From what I understand.
I think they all thought that there was a blanket above, and God had missed a couple holes, and that's where like the light of the heaven came through.
It's like a big ice dome.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly.
For the flat earth.
For the flat earth.
Something.
Yeah.
So the League of Nations was sadly largely ineffective, what with the whole Nazi thing in 1939.
Yeah, they didn't do much to curtail that.
To 1945. They kind of let the Nazis kind of run a little bit wild there.
Yeah, that's it.
And the League of Nations was dissolved, and the United Nations was put in place, and currently they are doing a bang-up job. With the whole Nazi thing.
They're
doing they did the same thing as Riot. They went from League of Legends to United Legends, and it was way better.
Way better game. Way better game.
Way better. Way better game.
Much more balanced,
So, like, it's kind of like a weird thing. It's like Nazis, they can go into suspended animation, like tardigrades.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Nazis can live in volcanoes for, like, a thousand years without food.
In the recesses of human minds, more like.
Exactly.
Did you know that like a Nazi can live in your brain for ever? As long as you like never learn anything?
Yeah.
So in the distant future, now, of 2021.
The distant future. The year 2021.
21. the International Society of... the International Society of Civil Engineers was founded by the UN.
They sound so boorish. Yeah.
It was men and women around the world who would work together to make space colonization and construction easier and easier over time.
Okay. I can get down with that.
By 2080... Yeah, a little bit of space construction, maybe... Okay. You got, like, it's like in space, no one can hear you catcall, so there's a bunch of, like, sexy ladies in sexy spacesuits walking by and just, like, utter silence from all the dudes sitting on, like, a floating bench eating floating sandwiches.
Or just pressing bologna sandwiches against the visor of their space helmet.
That might be a good episode title. So by 2080, human colonization was fully underway within the solar system, keep that in mind, which managed to offer what was described as reasonable living conditions on the moon, Mars, the asteroid belt, and the Jovian moons.
Okay.
And I think we'd have to start now to have that, by the way, in our real life. Like, for us to hit that 2080, people can go move there, like... We better start right now. Like,
well, today. One of the things that I was kind of like speculating is like because it's described as reasonable living conditions, and it's just like, wow, I can't wait to get like a bachelor pad or like a bachelor apartment with a broken microwave and a hot plate on like one of the moons of Jupiter. Boy, howdy, is that fucking high living?
Space dust is a real problem up there because like the dust is so fine that it's hard to filter it out of places.
Yeah,
and it's magnetic too, so it'll fuck all your machinery.
Oh my god.
I
know there was one thing that, like, one of the things that's, like, currently kind of, like, fucking up our space colonization is, like, the fact that, like, diamond shards traveling 150,000 kilometers a second just, like, fall from the sky sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't stop it with
And all
anything.
This satellite junk that we have out there that we've talked about on the cast before. I think,
So, like, there's a bunch of criticism around Tesla right now because they have their SpaceX program.
Yeah.
And so Elon Musk keeps throwing satellites up to, like...
And a car and a mannequin.
Exactly. Well, he keeps throwing satellites up there, but he doesn't paint them black, and that's literally all he needs to do is paint them black. But, like, telescopes that scientists use to, like, study distant galaxies, like, you need to leave it sit for, like, a couple hours, and, like, it rotates with the rotation of the Earth
to keep
the galaxy trained. But since he's not painting them black, all the pictures come out with, like, these silver streaks because of fucking Elon Musk's satellites just, like, whipping past the lens.
He was in the last Rick and Morty episode in the past
week. Yeah, he was Elon Tusk.
He's friends with Dan Harmon,
Oh, yeah.
His kids like the show, so they linked up.
So, as with many things, the original goals of the space colonies were commercial. Corporations wanted to get away from the human rights narcs on Earth. However, the UN, being very out of character and effective in this point, in this lore, got wise to that and enacted what is known as the Genetic Rights Act in 2165.
Doesn't sound good.
Well, actually, it is very good because this ensured human rights for everyone born of human parents, because there was, of course, the risk of having some sort of highborn Earth people and shitty low-class moon people.
Okay.
So the Genetic Rights Act was just like, if you're human, you're human no matter what world you're born on.
Yeah, fair.
Because, like, obviously, like, you'd have, like, a subclass of weak, pale moon people that everybody would be very racist against.
That's it.
Right?
I don't need to be strong because that's one-eighth the gravity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What do you mean you don't bound to school every day? Like, you're doing that stupid walk that they're asking us to.
You're just like, it's like, and now we have the moon Olympian deadlifting 8 pounds.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, sweating. Yeah.
With moon gravity,
too. Yeah. What were you going to say, Jamie?
Well, their hearts change shape if you stay out there too long. Like, they do rigorous exercise.
In low
orbit,
yeah.
And
also low orbit, for sure.
Maybe. Anywhere in space, yeah. Just because your body's used to gravity and, like, the way that you just, like, have your blood pumping through, but it starts to turn oval-shaped, and, like, when you come back down, your heart isn't able to pump as hard.
You get, like, the bends sort of thing? Like, deep-sea people?
Well, no.
Not quite,
the bends.
No. Huh? But they don't know how to...
It's not pressure. It's nothing... Like, the bends is pressure.
Yeah.
It's just because your heart works in a different way. It's like if your arm is so used to lifting, your bicep gets strong, right? Because you're, like, always lifting against your bicep, but all of a sudden...
Picture your heart squeezing, and there's always this force pulling it down.
Yeah.
And suddenly there's not this force pulling it down, so it's just like whipping around all over the place in your chest.
Yeah, and it's super easy, though. It's like, it's really easy to pump blood, but all of a sudden you come back, and you're like, oh, there's an extra force.
Because not only it pumps blood, it is not affected by gravity, but also the blood is not affected by gravity. Yeah. So it can pump blood back up, and it's just like super easy.
People who stay in the space station have to do like 2 hours minimum per day of rigorous exercise just to make sure their hearts.
They have like a squat spring thing, I know.
Yeah. Not just their hearts, but just their muscles in general.
Everything.
Because I've heard as well, like, astronauts tend to have this weird habit of like throwing up by accident a lot because their food is just kind of hovering around in their stomachs.
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
Which is fucking weird. Yeah.
Apparently it's the most comfortable way to sleep. That's pretty much every astronaut, though, says, like, sleeping in space is the best feeling. You always feel comfortable because your body just naturally goes into the most comfortable position and you just stay there forever.
You're like literally like hovering like a little like a cherub in the cool side of the pillow.
Naturally, like imagine someone with like both their legs behind their head or something. Just
natural comfort. Welcome to space where comfort comes natural.
So, what do we know about the government telling us that everybody has human rights?
That it's always effective and nobody's going to disagree.
Cool, yeah.
Especially not corporations. Those corporations we were talking about wanting to get to space, they're going to be cool with it.
So, like, the shift from what is known as Earth-based capitalism to post-industrial space capitalism saw the, initially at least, the radicalization of the space leftists.
Okay.
So, a Russian-born revolutionary with no original ideas,
Karl Marx,
Vladimir Kozlov, decided he would reignite the fires of Soviet communism and start what he called workers' crusades, specifically on orbital stations.
Okay. And by crusade, you mean like a general strike or like an actual crusade? Like a deus vult?
Pretty violent.
Okay.
Pretty violent. And of course, since communism is perfect and always works for the people, he named the movement after himself.
Yeah, no, well, that's it. It's about
first
the people.
First among equals. Yeah. Space Jordan Peterson was obviously spinning in his space grave in orbit around Huntress. On the other end of the political spectrum, the Freedian Army came up partially in response to the commies in the Jovian moons.
Freedian Army being?
They were considered to be a hardcore fascist movement sponsored by the UGR, or the United German Republic.
So we do have Nazis. Okay.
You think a Russian was going to go to space like make communists again?
This is
the
literally...
Germans were just like, no, man.
So this is just World War II, though.
It is just World War II.
And this is just like Lenin and Stalin, and like Stalin takes over from Lenin or whatever, and now the fascist party out of Germany is like, well, they're doing it, so we could do it too.
That is,
and the UN the whole time is just sitting there like, well, this doesn't look good, but I'm not going to do anything about it.
That is exactly what happened. So the UN once again found themselves pinned between hard right and hard left and had to take action, which we know the UN is so good at doing.
Very good at.
Yeah. Actioning things. United, the N is the N in United and UN. United Nations actually stands for action.
It is necessary action.
An N in action.
Necessary action here at the UN. Come down to the UN, you get some necessary action.
Baby. This would lead to yet another conflict between communism, fascism, and the International Representatives of Democracy.
And the Milk Toast Brigade.
And the Milk Toast Brigade. I could just get that as a bumper sticker for Milk Toast Brigade.
I support the Milk Toast Brigade.
We should have called our podcast that, really.
Milk Toast Brigade.
Milk Toast Brigade.
It's not too late.
Yeah.
Our brand's not that valuable.
Yeah, no, that's we could change it. We could change it every time.
Perfect. Every episode, yeah.
The first extremists, the UN decided to tackle were the Jovian fascists. Jovian, for the uninformed, are the moons of Jupiter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Jovian moons are the moons of Jupiter.
There we go.
Yeah.
I was uninformed.
Sorry. The Jovian fascists in what was known as the Jovian Moons Campaign. The Phrygian movement started in 2158 on the city of Catrius on Europa, one of the Jovian moons.
One of the moons of Jupiter.
And then the UN
Can you name
started...
any others?
Sorry?
Io?
Yeah. Titan?
Titan.
That's Saturn.
That's Saturn, though.
Fuck.
Fuck. Fan mail.
I'm not going to answer that question because I wrote the script and... read about a bunch of Jovian moons, so I'm cheating, technically.
Archimedes is one.
Callisto.
Callisto.
Ganymede.
Ganymede is definitely one, yeah.
The Maria, the Pinto, and the...
That's Santa Maria.
That's the one.
Pinto
yeah.
is a car.
This is Columbus's
and
ship.
And the Subaru
Outback. Are you talking about beans?
Yeah. Columbus's ships. The
Santa Maria. Yeah,
the Pinto.
The Pinto.
And the Subaru Outback.
And the Subaru yeah. Outback. I thought it was an Impreza. Boy, this, I'm sure I'm glad. Boy, these seas are really choppy today. I'm sure I'm glad our ship has all-wheel drive.
You know, I was going to say, Jamie's a little quiet this evening, but fuck, every time he comes in, it's with the fucking bangers. It's just killing me. So, the Jovian Moons campaign was when the UN... started to intervene when the Phrygians blew up an embassy on the European city of Tinea.
Tinea.
Little people.
A little small city little, for a little small people.
Little
look at this little
moon
small
man.
Their little yeah. city. Oh my god, that's so cute.
So that's why we need the Human Rights Act, because otherwise we, the normies, would go to Tinea and pinch all the little cheeks.
And we just pinch the little cheeks so much. They're so cute, little tiny people, Tinyopia.
But then the Nazis on Europa blew up their embassy, so that was shitty.
I mean, yeah, that's a very Nazi move.
So many tiny bodies in the streets.
Yeah, yeah. Tiny organs just strewn across the cobbles.
Tiny people holding tiny children crying among tiny fires. Yeah.
I do also assume that the streets in this city are cobblestone, because I assume the pilgrims that first went there were like the only pilgrims that we know who came here and built cobblestone streets.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Like, we just like launched... for some reason, the same kind of pilgrim at
That's
Europa,
it.
The moon of Jupiter.
Personal effects you're bringing to the moon. Well, I got my cattle. I got my oxen to drive it. I got my plow. I got my carriage. We're just about ready to go get set up over there. Manifest destiny. Hoo-wee!
It was hard bringing the cobblestone on the Subaru Outback across the ocean, though.
Yeah. Made it so heavy.
Yeah.
You got to toss all those Irish people off. Your boat's too heavy.
Make more room for cobblestones.
What do we have in the bottom of the ship with the rats?
Yeah.
Oh, the Irish?
You leave the Irish
get
down
out
there.
Of
we don't want the cobblestones getting too wet.
Rats on a ship seems like it'd be so easy to salt. Like half.
Well, that's why they had cats.
Ships had cats for that reason.
Yeah. But like, are you so
ships
bad
are,
at killing?
Ships are big, man. It's an apartment building.
They're like a little micro environment too, which is kind of neat.
Yeah. You have an apartment building, you go to like all these strange ports and you stop in and you're doing these like exchanges of barrels. You're like dropping barrels off and pulling barrels on and like a couple rats like scurry aboard. It's like you've seen rats in your apartment. If you like see a rat, you can be like, oh shit, there's rats on the ship.
Yeah.
Now what?
The like, fuck are you going to do?
Do you chase them?
Yeah.
They're hard to catch.
You're on a ship for however many months. You don't have much to do.
Well, they had cats for this reason.
Okay. That's why they had cats, yeah.
They had cats to hunt.
If I know anything about movies that take place on ships, you've got at least 9 to 10 hours of pulling just a big rope back and forth for some reason.
Yeah.
And saying
swabbing
heave-ho.
Poop.
Yeah, heave-ho. Yeah.
Swab poop decks. Yeah.
But
also, poop decks.
Also, the hold was just filled with like barrels and crates and all this other stuff. And it's like the rats can squeeze through tight spaces very easily. And you're like climbing over all this shit, like throwing your fucking knife. Your fucking pleating knife at a goddamn rat. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Get me on a boat. I'll just tell
you. Get me on a boat. Yeah. We don't
have a cat, but we got Jamie.
If anybody, if any listeners out there have a Subaru Outback that has a rat problem, you know who to call. Send us some fan mail asking for Jamie's help to deal with your rat problem on your Outback.
Yeah.
So, back to the space colony as opposed to the Earth colonies.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got the UN is interfering with the Jupiter Nazis. But because they're big, dumb, egghead politicians, they sent over a few colonial advisors to, I guess, ask politely to stop being fascists.
Yeah.
Like, guys...
Can you please stop doing this?
Guys...
Stop annexing Czechoslovakia.
When they were attacked...
We just want to annex the Rhineland on Europa.
Yeah.
Like, well, okay, then.
Oh, well, yeah. Just shrugs.
Yeah, yeah. Most Europeans want to be Nazis anyway.
Yeah, we could prove it.
It's hitting too close to home, guys.
Well, yeah.
No, Jupiter's scary. Very far away. Don't worry about
it. It's a scary world we live in right now.
So they sent over a few colonial advisors, and they were attacked, and then they sent... The advisors were attacked, okay.
By Nazis?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Jovian fascists.
We're calling them Nazis.
I use a shorthand.
Yeah, yeah.
To be like lore boys canon Nazis.
You're using the longhand.
official canon.
I think they're Jofas.
Jofas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jofies.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it'd be a Jovian fascist because it's like National Socialist was the Nazi thing.
Yeah.
So it'd be like Jofas.
Jofas.
Mm-hmm. The Jofas.
What Jamie just said.
Yeah.
But no, I was giving an etymology of, term Jofas.
Shut up, Jamie. It's going to be Jofas.
Yeah. All right.
You and your Subaru Outback joke making me cry with laughter. Anyway, they sent in military units from Earth. Now, remember these super equal people, the space commies named after one guy, are known as the
Reds.
The Kozloviks. They joined
the causal what?
Kozloviks.
Oh, I heard causal dicks.
Yeah.
I was like, don't call them that.
The cozy dicks.
The cozy dicks. The cozy penises. And they're a little tiny town.
Which is what the Jofas call them. It's like, well, man, we're going to go fight some cozy dicks later.
There wouldn't even be life without causal dicks.
That is true. Huh?
Yeah. Causal dicks.
Yeah. Just saying.
The Kozloviks joined in with the UN to fight the fascists. And all in all, this was known... The Jovian campaign only lasted 3 months. It was from March to June of 2160.
Okay, Earth time.
Yeah, still Earth time. No. Yeah. I don't care how fucking slow you go around the sun. It is 2065 now. Yeah. So nobody's going to change my mind.
So days on a moon would be super weird because they wouldn't all have the same length because you're not orbiting the sun and you're not rotating. You're orbiting a planet at the same time.
That is assuming all the Jovian moons are tidally locked and they're not orbiting, they're not spinning independently.
In space?
No, but you spin independently, but you will be eclipsed. Like every couple days.
Oh yeah, by fucking Jupiter.
You'll be Jupiter, the largest planet in the solar system, living a thousand times larger than Earth.
Living on a space station, you see the sun rise and set like every 45 minutes or something like
90
that.
Minutes. There's a sunset every 90 minutes.
So
so I guess sunrise.
Part of their training is that they have to be ready for that.
They have to go on a lot of first dates.
About 50 of them.
Yeah. You lose so much track of time. Like to become an astronaut you need a lot of mental fortitude.
There's a lot that goes into being an astronaut.
I could not do it.
I want to go to space, but there's a reason I haven't been chosen yet.
Yeah, even
I got weak thumbs.
Even if you had everything about you perfect, you were in like the perfect shape. You had the great mental fortitude. You had you were be able to fix the whole rocket ship looking backwards or something.
Yeah.
Just because you are 6 foot instead of 5'11", you can be eliminated because of that. Oh no, you just don't. You wouldn't fit good.
Think about how many people actually go, like how much it costs to send someone to space.
Yeah.
How many
people like actually get sent? $10,000 a pound.
And how many people actually want to? Like they can afford to be choosy. It's a buyer's market for astronauts. You know what I mean? Like you get to be choosy.
Yeah. What do you do though? Where do all the failed astronauts go? Do they just become
into a deep depression? I'm willing to.
I was gonna say they put them in those submarines and go to the ocean.
Yeah,
it's just like here you go. It's kind of like space, idiot. Who cares?
Yeah, but they get. But
ooh, you got aliens down there, like those fat fish with the big teeth.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you just on call? Like,
like astronaut reservists.
Yeah, I'm an understudy for NASA. I'm standing for first mate on the ship on the Apollo Outback.
Because I'm sure they narrow like 3,000 people down to two. You know, like
more than 3,000.
Yeah.
So for people applying to be astronauts, it's gotta be a couple dozen. You know what I mean?
On the subject of whittling people down,
at least 10
during the Jovian campaign in 3 months. At least 10. I caught that. During the Jovian campaign, there were heavy casualties on all sides, and tensions in the years after the war would lead to a series of bombings and the start of the Rainforest Wars on Earth in 2162. The UN, the Fredians, and the Kozloviks all fought a brutal and presumably sweaty war on the continent of South America from February 2162 to September 2163, And since before this conflict, for some reason, humanity managed to keep the rainforest in perfect working order.
Yeah, no, they'll totally last until 2060. Yeah, no worries,
especially
there.
To 2163.
Yeah, yeah.
The rainforest wars led to massive famines throughout the Earth and also its colonies in space. Because people just like ran out of mangoes and howler monkey meat, and they were just like, well, what are we supposed to eat now here on this moon of Jupiter?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, more tinned howler monkeys.
Yeah, yeah.
Loreboy's canon. All of the super soldier training in the Halo series, powered by howler monkey.
Powered by howler monkey.
Yeah, yeah. Right. They're very loud, making them very nutritious.
They howl.
Yeah.
That's why they call them that.
And they're monkeys.
Well, there's no way to be sure.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Mostly howler.
They definitely howl. Yeah.
Okay.
In the same way, the wolf eel is neither a wolf nor an eel. It's
what
just
is
a,
it?
It's a slim fish.
It's a fish.
Yeah.
Now that right there, that's a fish.
That's a fish.
That's my new. I'm working on a new catchphrase. That's fine.
That's a fish.
That's a fish.
Nah, you got right on there, a piece of corn.
That's a fish.
If you got gills live in the water, you might be a fish. Yeah.
Wow, are you doing the redneck comedy tour, Jamie?
Yeah, that was really good.
So the UN now had to be both a military and a relief effort for the colonists that they had, like, accidentally starved by fighting the commies and the Nazis in the rainforest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why don't we have a battle on our luscious real estate?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I built this this field specifically for combat. There's you can't plant anything here. It's just, like, a barren field. everyone want to do their fighting here. No, we're going to go fight where all the food is.
Yeah, exactly. Our soldiers
fucking hiding behind cows while they're, like, fighting. Using cows as, like, cover. Like...
I was picturing just a red base and a blue base and a long valley.
A long valley.
And then a warthog on either side.
One gulch.
Full of mangoes.
Yeah, full of mangoes. Yeah. Blood Gulch was once full of mangoes. Yeah.
It was once a verdant and fertile place.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Now Blood Gulch is simply... Is two
that,
bases.
Is that the name of the map?
Yeah. Blood Gulch, yeah.
Blood Gulch, yeah.
It's where red versus blue happened.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, we know them, you know.
The quintessential Halo map.
We don't know them.
Mm-hmm.
We know them.
It was Coagulation in Halo 2, right?
Could have been.
Slayer.
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 That's the first gun you often start with, and then it always says that whenever you... Just start. When you start the game...
Slayer was the game mode. Slayer was deathmatch.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was the name of that automatic gun that was always in your hand.
It's an assault rifle.
Assault
or
rifle.
Or battle rifle.
Okay. Battle rifle is 3-round burst. Yeah.
The burst
that was that was the pro moves. If you had the 3-round burst and you got all headshots, it was just killing.
If you play SWAT, you got the battle rifle and the fucking the pistol?
It was battle rifle and shotgun.
Handgun and SWAT, I want to say?
Shotgun.
All right.
It was battle rifle, shotgun. And so like... The whole thing in Halo was if you get 4 headshots, if you 4 shot somebody with the battle rifle, it only took 4 shots to kill if every single shot in your 3-round burst hit them in the head. So 12 shots to the head.
Yeah.
You could 4 shot somebody.
So okay.
The best players would get like always get 4 shots, and then like you would get 5 shots if you like missed like 1 or 2 shots off your bursts. Yeah.
Or if you were like me and never had an Xbox, you would get 30 to 40 shots.
Yeah.
And then but also die and come in second to last because Chris Nucci's baby sister had to play too at our LAN parties. So we discussed what you guys know about the UN and how effective they are. What do you guys know about wars? Do they lead to other conflict?
No, never.
Like, okay, never mind then. I'll just
I thought they were conflicts.
But they just like kind of lead to more things. So wars are often like dominoes. The Rainforest War.
A fun game to play with your family?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With your Dominican uncle?
Yeah, on a picnic bench.
Yeah.
Did you choose a Dominican uncle just because it sounds like dominoes?
No, because...
They love dominoes.
There's a lot of dominoes in the Caribbean. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a big Caribbean game.
Mm-hmm.
Is it from the Dominican Republic?
I don't think it is. I think it's from the East. I think it's Chinese or Japanese in origin, dominoes.
Okay.
Could be very wrong about that.
We'll do a dominoes episode one day.
But having read a fair amount of Diaz, who wrote The Brief Wondrous Life of Oscar Wao, which is a fantastic book for anyone listening at home who wants a slice of Dominicana.
What's that game, Taijong?
Mahjong.
Mahjong? I played that on Windows 98.
Yeah,
that's kind of like...
That's a single-player game, though.
Yeah, yeah, but it's similar to dominoes, except it uses symbols instead of numbers.
Yeah.
And it's like...
The way the actual game layout. Is played is very different.
Yeah. Yeah.
We will cover the Mahjong and Domino's crossover episode event in 2020.
Yeah.
But for now, we're going to talk about how the Rainforest War, where we destroyed all the mangoes and howler monkeys,
yes.
led to the Mars campaign.
Mars campaign.
Mars, thankfully, has no howler monkeys and nothing
so Mars, but... Mars is colonized?
Yes.
At this point? Okay.
Yeah.
So it was Mars and then a bunch of moons.
Yeah, like I skipped over the colonization process because a lot of it was just like, Well,
then we landed here.
We terraformed a tiny part of the moon, and then Mars, and then the Jovian moons. Like, who? Whatever. Like, we're talking about strong men punching each other in the rainforest.
Hell yeah!
Eating monkeys and shit.
Assassinations.
Blah.
So if you punch somebody in the back of the head, they die.
Yeah, I know. That's the weakest part of a man. It's the back of his head.
The back of his head.
Just like a baby. Press down on a baby. Press backwards on a man, yeah. And that's how you get it.
Because they all grew up in space. They never got rid of the soft spot.
Yeah, exactly. It's like press down on the
gravity
head.
Forms your skull.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the Genetic Rights Act. It's like, no pressing down on the heads of the moon people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're physically weak and they have soft skulls. But they're still people. So the Kozloviks, after helping out with like some of the Nazi stuff, the commies were just like, well, technically, we're still the bad guys if you think about it, because we killed all those people.
Mm-hmm.
All of our own people.
All the orbiting stations. They planted a bunch of bombs.
Exactly. They wanted to bring the solar system under communist control, and they decided they'd start small and go to Mars.
Okay.
Because
sure.
They were just like...
Mars is red. That makes sense.
They need Also, they need to practice Earth, but I didn't think of that. Yeah. Mars is already the red planet.
You're going to go to the red planet. Yeah.
It's like, yes, the red planet. We have friends there. And it's like, I'm sorry, sir. I think they called it that for a different reason.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he had that guy shot.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he had spoken out of turn.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. They focused mostly on spaceship building facilities in response... And in response, the UN created the UNSC. Or the United Nations Space Command.
Okay. Now we're at Halo things.
We're getting...
We're done with the real history.
Yeah.
Now we're in...
We're done Halo here things. In the year 2174. Yeah.
We've got it all mapped out.
Took over Mars. We would recognize the UNSC as the Marines from all of the Halo games. They're all still UNSC.
You are a Spartan for the UNSC when you play a Halo.
Okay. When you play a Halo, exactly. They're also, if you are less informed, those are the guys who you can put in the passenger seat of a Jeep, and they will get a perfect headshot with a handgun from a kilometer away, but they go blind the second you tell them to drive.
Yeah, yeah.
And they will fucking kill you.
They don't handle easy, those Tesla Cybertrucks.
No, exactly.
Like a bathtub on wheels.
Yeah.
On the moon, too, which is like bouncing around.
Yeah, yeah.
It's those Xbox physics.
Yeah, yeah.
People don't take baths in space.
No, exactly. It's like the most comfortable bath you've ever taken, where you're just like surrounded by a little water bubble tornado. So the Marines were deployed to Mars in 2163 to squash the commies. And this would mark actually the first interplanetary deployment of Marines in human history. I recently found out that Marines and soldiers are kind of different things.
Okay.
Yeah. Like a Marine is a different kind of soldier, so that's why they say this is the first time Marines...
That's a real life thing too, though, Peter.
Yeah. It is, yeah. I mean, but like Halo was written here on Earth.
Is it just... am I saying, like, is it just branches of the military? Like the Marines are still Marines, and like an infantryman is still in the army?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like that's from what I understand.
I thought Marines were a lot of sense. Like whales and stuff. Like
that's a marine
animal.
Mammal. They're specially trained.
It's a part
mammals.
It's a part of the United Kingdom. I don't know. What you,
killer whales?
Whales,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a specially trained country.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
The elite spec ops, marine whales.
It is immoral to keep Welsh people at marine land.
Yeah. What if marine land was just looking at a bunch of soldiers behind glass walls?
Just a bunch of Welsh soldiers. Yeah.
You go to marine land, it's just like a bunch of dudes underwater.
Yeah.
So, because the Freedians and the Kozloviks were ideological groups, the UNSC realized they had to get into people's heads, and not with bullets, because that, so far, not good.
It's effective, but it just doesn't last long. You know?
Yeah, we're also out of mangoes and howler monkey meat, which I think I made abundantly clear.
Yeah.
The main export of Earth to the colonies.
Tough times for the colonies around planet Earth.
Can't get my dried mangoes or my monkey jerky. I'm joining the communists slash fascists. I don't know, like depending on who you are. As the UN took more and more control over the governments of Earth, they broadcasted huge propaganda campaigns to win over the people of Earth and the colonies.
Okay.
This worked extremely well. And after inspiring hope, bravery, and courage in non-extremists, and I guess and technically making their own extremists in the process, the UNSC waged a brutal crackdown campaign from 2164 to 2170. Following this, they went back to where it all began with the Callisto Treaty on...
Callisto.
Callisto. The moon of Jupiter.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So in 2170, the space commies and the space Nazis surrendered to the UNSC. This saw the creation of the first unified international and interplanetary government. And now this government body could came up with a lot of issues, obviously, from all this like fucking war.
Yeah, yeah, and famine. Yeah. And, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's the one thing. Overpopulation and starvation on Earth. The constant and looming threat of the collapse of an entirely capitalist economy in fucking space.
That would never happen. Come on.
No. And good old-fashioned post-war baby boom.
Oh, very
nice. We got some space boomers, boys. Yeah. We did it. And we've even got their own, like, versions of space suburbia.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, like, which is coming up. So, with sci-fi magic...
They're 0K boomer, because... In space, the temperature is 0 degrees Kelvin.
Oh yeah, yeah. Excuse me.
You just keep if you keep being boomers every year, you just end up the hive, right? If you just keep fucking and that's your whole thing, because like the hive is their whole thing is they just overrun. I think right.
The flood. You mean.
The
flood. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, you're
thinking
of
StarCraft.
You're talking about the completely original idea that Bungie had following Halo in Destiny.
So it's Zerg StarCraft. It's Hive Destiny, and it's the Flood. Halo. So the flood is what I was thinking of. Okay. Yeah. But that it's so common to have the peoples, the smart aliens, and the things that overrun you.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, well, it's really easy to have a hive mind villain because once you kill one thing, all of the lackeys die, so you don't have to deal with like the complex politics of just like, wow.
The power vacuum.
What do we do about the power vacuum in our video game about shooting?
Oh, no. Hydralisk 34 is now the queen of the swarm.
Exactly. Yeah. That it's just like, you know, when StarCraft turns into Crusader Kings. Yeah, and you're like, I have so many fucking inbred Zerg.
Oh, fuck. He's fucking infertile. Jesus Christ. How am I going to make this work? Like, his spines don't work.
That'd be a hell of a game.
What good is a Hydralisk whose spines don't work? That'd be a hell of a Crusader Kings 2 mod.
It's probably out there.
Yeah.
Or if you're listening and have some skill with Crusader Kings 2,
please make one that I can play with all Ricardos.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Everybody. Then also the thing that we just talked about, but mostly the Ricardo. Yeah.
One. Okay. Oh, you guys were talking.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, my mic got turned down. This episode.
Yeah. My mic got turned down. I'm just like turning around very quickly. Yeah. So with sci-fi magic, thankfully, all things are possible, and space colonization became easier and more attractive to deal with, thanks to the lack of resources on Earth and the lack of physical space.
Okay.
Because we got your overpopulation, you got your post-war baby boom, now you got your teleportation. This began what is known as the colonial era, and the magic sci-fi engine that allowed for this was the Shaw Fujikawa Translite engine, which was finished in 2291.
Okay.
I don't always want to bring it back to BattleTech, but I did toss this in because the hyperpulse generators or the HPG communication network that Comstar has a monopoly over is powered by a KF or Kearney Fushida drive.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So like, sci-fi keeps predicting a bunch of stuff that's gonna come come true, but there's still no like sick American Japanese teleportation collab going on right now,
which is fucked up, man.
Matter of time.
Fucking get on it.
We will sponsor this. Subscribe to the Lore Boys Patreon, and we will be the front runners.
What do you think would be the first industry to break through on teleportation because they needed it? Would it be medical? Would it be
shipping?
Shipping,
yeah, shipping. Yeah. It'd probably be like a boring industrial thing. I think like a dead space future
medical
is.
We need to get this doctor to Japan right now. It's just you could if you invent teleportation, you could just really cut back on the number of doctors you need. There's just 8 doctors in the world, and they're constantly teleporting around.
Teleporting around
on a micro scale would be really useful, so you don't have to slice someone open.
Oh, teleport in.
Yeah.
There
you go. Wow. So. I think a dead space future is way more likely. Like,
you just
think...
open this portal and blood starts gushing out of you. Like, oh, fuck.
I think mining.
What's a gerbil doing in here?
Yeah, yeah.
Richard Gear, no!
Mining?
I do want to give a shout-out to any Japanese listeners that we may have, and I want to say, sorry, Ninoko Oto Konoko.
Oh. I think they want you to stop trying.
Which Google translates to, get to it, boys.
Get to it, boys.
Which is what I want them to do for the teleportation collab.
Okay. Please and thank you.
So the Shaw Fujikawa engine... Fujikawa, excuse me, allowed for travel through something called slipstream space, which is this franchise's version of the warp from Warhammer 40K, which we have a bunch of episodes on. That's why I asked you about it earlier.
Yeah.
This was the part that I had to loop back in because I was an idiot and left it out. Yeah.
There's a dark dimension in Halo.
There's a spooky there's a spooky place where everyone can get event horizoned.
Yeah, I wonder if that's
if they're horny enough.
I know, I don't wanna, you know, make assumptions, but I wonder if that's where the flood comes from. The flood being these hive monsters.
Yeah.
We'll have to find out.
The flood being the hive.
Next time on the Lore Boys.
On the Lore Boys.
Fan mail.
Where's your app? Why'd you lock your phone?
Yeah, I don't know.
Where's my horn at? Where's my dank meme horn? So the first colonist ship equipped with one of these engines was the Odyssey, because people are just doing Nazis again, people are just doing commies again, people just keep doing the fucking UN, nobody's got any fucking original ideas. They were just like, I don't know, but like, what's a book someone was forced to read in high school for our spaceship?
Mein Kampf.
Not that one.
I had to read A Tale of Two Cities.
I mean, that's a lot for a ship.
I read an epic poem called The Odyssey.
All right, we'll take that one. That's good.
Right. Cool. Gilgamesh?
Like, oh, sorry, we already took The Odyssey, man. James said it first.
But what about Tiny Town? That's like Gulliver's Travels.
No, Tinia.
Tinia.
Yeah. We're not calling it Lilliput, okay? No one will take us seriously out in space if we call it Lilliput. So The Odyssey was launched in 2362 and began a period of history that would be called Domus Diaspora, or, as previously mentioned, the colonial era.
Diaspora being when a multitude of people leave a country or something.
Yeah, I had no
people leaving the solar system.
I had no fucking idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not that smart. I'm researching Halo, for Christ's sake. I'm not looking up French words. Are you stupid?
I don't think it's French.
Latin, is it?
Probably a Latin root.
It's probably Latin. So citizens...
But English. It's an English word.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Well, it is, but it is, though.
I'm not convinced.
Well, okay, agree to disagree, I guess.
Agree
but,
to diaspora.
Nailed it, Pete. Nailed it.
Thanks.
I'm learning.
I can read. Citizens and soldiers were elected by, like, a colonialization council.
In some sort of democracy.
This eventually, however, led to the creation of hoity-toity inner colonies, which were the citizens that were all descendants of the best and brightest Earth had to offer.
Okay, very, very Battletech all of a sudden.
Yeah, exactly. So what is called the Core Ring was 210 colonies that were not fully developed until the end of the 24th century.
Okay.
Mm.
Inside the periphery?
Yeah, basically. It's very inner sphere-y, right? I mean, but like, sci-fi is...
Yeah.
We've only got so much stuff to work with.
Yeah, no. I mean, yeah, or you could make new sci-fi like the greats do. I mean, but whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
You do you, Bungie. Rehash old ground, that's fine.
We got confused between the Hive and the Flood earlier. I don't think they're really... So the peak of the colonialization process was in 2492, where there were over 800 worlds. Now, I say specifically worlds because not all of the colonies were on planets, as we know from the Jovian moons. So a moon becomes a world because people are living there and, like, working and doing all that shit. But it's not technically a planet because a planet has a specific rule set behind it, which is why we kicked out bitch nerd Pluto several times over the past 20 years or
something. That's why they call them planets, because they planned it.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
you're welcome, Jay.
So within these 800 worlds, some of these colonies were well-to-do. Like the inner colonies, and some of them were basically like wilderness salmon fishing camps.
Okay,
that were just like, oh man, like, is there enough oxygen here for two guys?
Yeah, there's like, two guys and 40,000 salmon.
Yeah, exactly. Space salmon.
Yeah, space salmon.
We don't know if they're edible yet because they're made of an element that we haven't discovered. Is it good for your bones?
It makes them stronger and makes them glow green.
And when they come back to Earth, they go ballistic.
Yeah.
Wow.
In this time, the colony of Reach was established and became the UNSC's primary naval shipyard.
Okay.
It also became a training facility for special operations forces, which we'll be discussing in another episode.
That's Halo Reach, right?
Halo Reach is a game that in which Reach is the main character, but Halo is very important.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Reach is very important to Halo.
Are also important.
Halos are very important.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten into what a Halo is yet, but you gotta wait.
It's a key.
But you gotta know about, like, all the revolutions first before you could possibly understand Halo.
It's a key to a doomsday machine, I think. I don't know. It's been a while since.
No, it is a doomsday machine.
No, it's a key to a doomsday machine. That's why, like, you in Halo 1, you blow up the Halo. Then they're like, oh, but there's actually 7 more that can activate this thing.
Wasn't there, like, a big thing you go to in Halo 3? Anyway, this is for another episode. We'll get into that. So one of the neat original ideas, so I did put this into the script because I knew that I was reading like other people's writing, but they had like control F'd and like find and replace like stuff, then just like put in like the Master Chief instead of fucking Lenin or some shit. one neat original idea they had throughout the throughout their expansion, humanity found a bunch of weird alien garbage. They found a bunch of ancient robots.
I already finished my beer.
But in this case, they were just like, eh, fuck it.
That's weird. We won't touch those.
Oh, that's here already. I hope nobody squirrels that away. Later, they would find out that these ruins were from an ancient alien race known as the Forerunners. Now, the reason that this stuff was never used was not so much because people were like, well, that's odd. I don't remember leaving this here. It's mostly because the special forces were just like, oh yeah, how boring. Alien ruins, guys. We'll throw them out for it. Yeah. You keep salmon fishing or whatever we put you on this scary-ass planet. So the Department of the Office of Naval Intelligence, or ONI, was formed, and they began to squirrel away ancient alien relics.
ONI being a Japanese demon?
It's a Japanese spirit of some description. I don't really know. ONI, though, I do know is one of Bungie's previous games.
Oh, is it?
Which is a lot like Ghost in the Shell. They made kind of like an anime combat game called ONI.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Along with Marathon and Durandal.
I know they made Marathon. Yeah. Marathon 1 and 2.
One of ONI's notable secrets. Now, this really speaks to how fucking good these people were at their jobs. Give this person a fucking raise. Because one of their notable secrets was something called Onyx. This was first considered to be an ideal human colony. They were like, wow, look at this nice planet and how great this is going to be. The entire entity turned out to be a Forerunner superstructure, which guarded the entrance to what is known as a slipstream bubble.
Okay, the entrance to the warp.
So this structure of Onyx was what is known as a shield world.
Okay.
Because it is a gigantic planet-sized space station built to hide a slipstream bubble, basically.
Shield the universe from this slipstream
bubble. What is a slipstream bubble?
The slipstream bubble,
portal to the chaos dimension.
It's basically just like free teleportation shit. Why is this here?
Light travel.
Why is there a mechanical planet built around it?
Okay.
We don't know. We're ONI. We're just going to hide this from the common man because it'll probably scare the shit out of them.
Right. Okay.
And then we'll have to explain why there's all these like crazy, all this crazy ass alien shit on their fucking salmon farm.
Yeah.
Fucking Sam got out of the tank the other day, fell into this hole. No idea where it went. Stuck my head in there. Really fucking freaky. Red skies, fucking horrible tentacle monsters. No sign of the salmon though. I don't know what happened in there. But.
Yeah, gonna cut into profits.
Yeah.
One lost salmon is just a day's work. It's lost.
Yeah.
So finally, we come to what is called the Insurrection, which started in 2494. This was a political conflict between the white-collar inner colonies and the blue-collar outer colonies.
Okay.
The outer colonies were providing the inner ones with resources, which obviously led to wealth disparities.
Yes.
Huzzah! Because it's just like, wow, do you want to have a salmon farm on an inhospitable rock?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, cool, do I own the salmon? They're like, no.
No, of course not.
They're going to the warp or some shit.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to ship your salmon back to Earth. It's only going to take us 4,000 years. God, it's going to be so fresh.
We're going to send him through the horror dimension.
Yeah, exactly.
Back to Earth.
Yeah.
Just those tubes that they transferred salmon with out of trucks.
That's what the warp is. Yeah, it's just one of those salmon cannons. Yeah.
So worker rebellions began to crop up in the outer colonies, and in response to this, the United Earth Government, or UEG, developed a program to quash these dirty workers.
Yeah. Dirty fucking unions.
So you know who the fucking union breakers are in Halo?
The UEG.
The Spartans.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
That's amazing.
And that is where I'm going to end that one, and my next episode will be Halo, the Spartan program.
Okay, cool.
Cool. Yeah.
So they're union busters, they're knee breakers,
and scabs.
Oh no, they're like the police with the fire hoses that like blast out protests.
They're scabs who blew up scarabs.
Basically, yeah. Okay. They're scab rebs.
Yeah.
So I've been Peter O'Donoghue. You can find me on the internet at Pete O'Donoghue or at Loreboys Podcast. Finishing up the Mass Effect art because I'm a little behind. So that'll be the next one up if you want to see an awkward prom photo. That's going to be the next one. And then some Canadian shit. And that's at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram and Jambo.
Yeah. You can find me on the internet. J A Y M I
LLK64 on PSN, and I haven't plugged in my PlayStation in a month, but I'll see you eventually if you have me.
I'll see you when they port WoW to PS4.
Yeah, pretty much. Got my Epic mount today. This is just for my own logs.
Yeah, for when Jamie has a stroke, he's going to need to remember.
Yeah.
I have been, continue to be, and presumably will continue to be, Ethan Palmer. You can find me at Ethan the Dead Man online. Thanks so much for everyone who's been tweeting about us, tweeting at us, subtweeting, quote tweeting, emailing us, leaving reviews. Reviews are like so beautiful and sweet. Everybody who's supported us on Patreon, like, you have no idea how much that means to us. It's seriously super, super nice and sweet, and we love you for it. And if you want to get a message read on the show, just send us a message and tell us you want it read on the show, and we'll do it.
50,000 downloads, by the way.
50,000
Thank
downloads.
You so yeah. fucking Thank you so much. Guys.
That's,
yeah.
that's huge.
That is fantastic.
I checked the next day and we were like 50,400
yeah.
already.
Yeah,
so it's
crazy. Yeah. I know I've been like kind of shitty over the past couple of months. It's been a long 2019 for Pete, but holy shit, does 50,000 downloads not. Like, because I was telling my girlfriend, like, 49,991 when I was like, oh, fuck, so close. That's a shitty number.
Yeah.
But like moments later, which is only 9 people.
Yeah.
It was like 50,000 and we were just like, oh my fucking God. Yeah. It's like, so thank you. Thank you all
super,
so much.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, guys. If you don't trust Patreon and want to support us financially, you can send me money because I'm too sick to think of a joke this week. I'm feeling very tired and low energy right now. So yeah, send us money, dickhead.
Yeah. Lowrise Prime. I don't know what you're going to get, but it's fucking not Patreon. So,
yeah. It's going to be cool. We're going to send you something cool, like a jar of bees or something.
We got this fucking salmon that showed up.
Yeah. Weird salmon that makes your bones glow.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Fucking eat it.
Eat it.
That constitutes
you
a lore boys. Yeah, what was that?
Lowrise out.
Out.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.